Ich darf ganz herzlich bei mir auf der Bühne Theresia Reinhardt begrüßen. Sie wird ein kurzes Intro zu ihrem Filmprojekt Information, What Are You Looking For? Geben. Und auch, es wird auch einen kleinen Trailer zu diesem Filmprojekt geben. Vielen Dank.
Dankeschön. Hallo, ich freue mich total hier zu sein. Ich halte den Vortrag auf Englisch, obwohl ich Deutsch kann, weil ich über das Thema nicht auf Deutsch reden kann. Ich stelle mich aber kurz auf Deutsch vor, wenn das in Ordnung ist. Mein Name ist Theresia Reinhold, ich bin Historikerin qua Studium und Dokumentarfilmemacherin. Das heißt, ich arbeite nicht nur an dem Projekt, das ich heute vorstelle, sondern auch an anderen Projekten. Und ich habe gute und schlechte Nachrichten. Die schlechten Nachrichten sind, dass ihr leider, obwohl ich das letztes Jahr so angekündigt habe, heute noch keinen kompletten Film zeigen kann, weil er nicht fertig ist. Die gute Nachricht ist, ihr habt nachher noch Zeit, Kaffee trinken zu gehen vor dem nächsten Vortrag. Okay. So, now I'm switching to English. I'm sorry about that. I hope it's okay. If not, you can ask questions as well. All of those things or people you can see on this screen here, like fake news, Trump, the rise of the far right in Europe and in the US, credit rating agencies, racial profiling, etc., all have something in common that we need to address when we talk about privacy and surveillance. Because the problem is that even though a lot of people try to explain mass surveillance, data retention, and privacy issues and violations to the broad public, journalists and also other people usually miss the importance that is prevalent for people in their daily lives. Most people will never have anything to do with the NSA. Most people will never be targeted by the German BND or other secret services. But everybody uses the internet. Everybody reads news. Almost everybody orders stuff online, whether it's from Amazon or has a Spotify account. And if we want to really address how these topics are connected to human rights issues by privacy violations, we need to start talking in the tongue of the normal people. And I say normal people with a really, really positive intention, because most people are normal and that's a good thing. And when we talk about privacy violations through mass surveillance and data retention, we are not only talking about those specific issues, neither on an activist level, not on a personal level, nor on a policy level. We also need to explain to people the historical developments that brought us there. We need to talk about colonialism. We need to talk about slavery. We need to talk about the oppression of marginalized groups, such as black people, people of color, gay people, trans persons, women, etc. And when we only focus on a Western European approach, we will inevitably miss bringing people on our side and bringing people to the point where they actually care about privacy. So, when I started working on this project in November 2015, I already have worked around these issues for a couple of years. But, oh, sorry, that's the wrong... No, there's one missing. Well, there was supposed to be another screen there that said, we do not need yet another movie on privacy and surveillance. We know everything about it. And that was said to me by a big German producer, an old white man with all the privileges you can imagine in the world. And when he told me that at a documentary film market, while I was trying to pitch this project to him to get money, because without money you can't make a film, I was quite devastated. I honestly just wanted to ask him, do we actually know everything about it? If we were, we wouldn't have to have all of those conferences we are attending and speaking at. So, since he told me that, which has been more than a year ago, I have been basically trying to make this movie on my own without a production company. because I realized that the film industry is not really interested in giving money to a woman for a documentary film on privacy and surveillance. All of those things are not particularly sexy or attractive to them. And especially not because I want to make a film that is not profit-oriented. So my whole project is designed for people who have no prior knowledge on these topics. I want to put it online under a CC license. I want to make it accessible. And I want to give people the chance just to inform themselves, because most people don't have the time to read 300 books or 50 articles on these topics. They have to work several jobs, they have to raise their kids, they have to deal with all other forms of rights violations or humiliation or just day-to-day stuff. You know, other things are just more important for them. So I want to make a 70-minute documentary, or I'm making a 70-minute documentary for people to consume it very easily and very quickly, and then know the baseline of everything. And of course, I'm starting not with this sentence, but I'm starting with the sentence to you, because we kill people based on metadata, was famously said, and it's still the case, but most people don't understand the sentence. They understand almost all of the words, except the word metadata. Most people don't know what data is. Most people don't know what metadata is. So all of these little things will be explained in my movie in a very, very easy to understand manner. This sentence, the narrator is as important as a narrative, is the baseline for my whole film. Because I do believe that if we continue to, as I said before, exclude marginalized groups from these discussions, we exclude a whole set of audience. And those are my interviewees so far. You can find out more about every individual on my website. I have my website on with a larger font on the last slide, and I'm also having flyers with me, so you don't have to write that down now. And all of these people are experts in their own ways. For example, there's Mishi Chowdhury, a tech lawyer from India, who is also allowed to be a lawyer in New York, licensed to be a lawyer. There is Yasmin Jivani, a professor in communication studies from Concordia University. There is Hussein Derakhshan, a media analyst and journalist who has been in prison in Iran for 7 years because he was fighting against censorship. And all of those people are really good at explaining things very easily. And that is why I predominantly chose them. And another thing that might be obvious to you is that I chose a lot of women, because this is a very highly feminist issue. So we need to start talking about this from all other sets of discriminatory practices before we can even go into the actual problems of privacy violations. But the film is not the only aspect of my project. The second one is actually far more interesting to a lot of people, and I want to just quickly talk about it. Again, there is more information on the website. Imagine a documentary or a film that you can watch on your notebooks, that you can watch on your tablets or smartphones, and that adjusts actually to your needs. So if you fire it up, if you start the film, imagine it would come in the language that you actually speak. It comes either with voiceovers, or it comes with subtitles, or it comes with a sign language translation. But instead of having to watch the whole film, you could also download just a podcast that you can listen to when you're on the train, or you can actually read all the information and the interviews that are in the film. And imagine all of that within one privacy-friendly, not data-violating app. That is actually the second thing we're working on. And this mock-up has been designed by an amazing designer that designs accessible apps called Leonie Bruin, who's based in Berlin too. And what we want to do is create this framework, specifically, of course, for my film first, because that's why you see the pictures of my film in there. But we also want to put this whole framework online under a free license so that every other filmmaker or videographer can just take it and make their films accessible too. Because films are so incredibly exclusive just by the nature of being films, but I do believe that we can actually make them accessible for people with all kinds of wishes, limitations, or just needs for films. So here you can see the first steps toward this goal. This is a screenshot from the trailer, which is on the website and on Vimeo and on YouTube as well. The trailer has been so far translated into 14 different languages, and currently there are people working on Mandarin, Arabic, and Portuguese too. So this is the first, it's a small step because it's only a 2-minute trailer, but I'm really already very happy that all of these volunteers believed so much into making films more accessible and making them more understandable. So if you happen to speak another language, because there are several thousand in the world, so you might, you can also tell me and help us translate this into even more languages so we can tell more people about this project. And now, finally, I want to show you the exposé film. This is a 7-minute version. It is not yet a whole film, don't worry. And it just gives you a general feeling for what I'm working on, how the people are talking and in which ways they are explaining things, and how the whole narrative will be structured. There's only one thing, you will see some animations in there. Those will not be the animations for the final film, because as I have no money yet for this film, I couldn't pay professional animators, so I made them myself. So please be gentle about them, or just ignore them if you like.
Privacy in essence is becoming a de facto crime. If you're exercising privacy, then you might be withholding something. And if you're withholding something, that means maybe it's something that's criminal in nature or something we need to know about. So just to be sure, let's not have any privacy.
Well, our privacy is a human right. It's also a fundamental right. And what it means is that you have the right to keep your life, your family matters, your personal being as yours. And if you want to share something with others, you would have to be on control.
So to me, human rights are something which has been put in place to guarantee the freedoms of every single person in the world. They're supposed to be universal, indivisible. You can't have pick and choose, you can't have just one human right, you have to have them all in order to be a free person.
Privacy is a fundamental human right as constituted in Article 12 of the International Declaration of Human Rights. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary interference with his privacy, family, home, or correspondence, nor to attacks upon his honor and reputation. Everyone has the right to the protection of the law against such interference or attacks.
Privacy is important because if we think of the alternative, if everything is public, if the norm is public, then anything that you want to keep to yourself has an association of guilt attached to it.
The way that human rights work is very much state-focused. So it's part of a state-centric system where states are responsible for giving you those rights. And I think that's where the main contention is, because if you don't have human rights, in some ways you're not really seen as a person. You know, you can be dehumanized. Having those rights makes you human in the eyes of this system.
What is happening right now is that you don't have the control over what's happening. You don't even know the type of data that authorities or companies have. So people would say that they have nothing to hide. However, it would be up to governments and companies to tell you why they would be restricting your privacy. So your intimacy, your personal life, your family members, your friends, everything that surrounds you.
If the expectation is that we share everything about ourselves, then if we want to keep something to ourselves, then the question arises, why? And that should not be the world that we create. That's a chilling effect. It's a chilling effect on our freedoms. It's a chilling effect on democracy.
In terms of how human rights are affected by digitization, in a way, they aren't affected in terms of having any new rights. There's no need for anything new because they all relate to existing rights.
We have to understand that our data is not exhaust. Our data is not oil. Data is people. And if data is people, then we need to extend person rights to these technologies so that someone else cannot own you.
One of the things about privacy is that it's not always about you or me. It's about the people in our networks.
I really believe that argument, if I'm not doing something wrong, then I have nothing to worry about, is entirely false.
Der Sprecher, der mir den Satz, ich habe nichts zu verbergen, entgegenschleudert, der sagt nicht nur was über sich selbst, sondern er sagt in der Regel auch was über mich. Denn dieser ich habe nichts zu verbergen Satz, eigentlich oft, ohne dass es ausgesprochen wird, die Komponente du doch auch nicht, oder?
You may be not doing anything wrong today, but maybe three governments from now, when they pass a certain law, what you have done today might be illegal, for example. And governments that keep that data can look back over 10, 20 years and maybe start prosecuting. You might have a democratic government today, but in your country, you might have an autocratic government in three generations' time, in terms of your elections, for example. You may be doing nothing wrong by being a homosexual, and yet you may be prosecuted for it.
Leider sind die Menschen, die diese Sätze äußern, oft nicht sehr lange in sich gegangen, bevor sie diesen Satz äußern. Oder aber sie äußern ihn aus politischen Motiven. Es hat oft Komponenten eben wie medizinische oder psychologische Informationen über einen selbst. Weil Krankheiten oder mangelnde Leistungsfähigkeit ein Außenbild von einem Menschen erzeugen, die er oft gern kontrollieren möchte.
And so for example, I have a lot of friends who are from Syria. People that I've met in other places in the world, not necessarily refugees, people who've lived abroad for a while, but those people are at risk all the time, both in their home country and often in their host countries as well. And so I might say that I have nothing to hide. I might say that there's no reason that I need to keep myself safe. But if you've got anyone like that in your network, any activists, any people from countries like that, it's thinking about privacy and thinking about security means thinking about keeping those people safe too.
Yes, I have a little more to say. Hello? Sorry. If you are so happy about this project now as I am, and so excited after what you've just seen, then there are plenty of ways you can actually help me. What I need, as I said before, I don't have any money yet, but hopefully there will be. So if you happen to be a fundraising genius, please let me know. If you happen to be a designer who is incredibly well off and would like to, you know, help a little bit for a little money for a project that is created from the heart, then please let me know too. If you happen to be a social media expert, because what you can see on my Facebook page, because yes, I do have a Facebook page for this film, as every great digital rights activist should have. I'm not really good at social media marketing. Storytellers are always very welcome, because you can probably imagine that after almost working on this film for 2 years, I'm very much in my own head and in my own bubble, so I always need feedback. If you have 40 minutes to spare, you can watch the whole rough cut and give me feedback. It's all online. Or you can just look at the website and point out a mistake, as recently some nice person I've never met before did. Or you can just, you know, help by giving ideas or giving just some attention, you know, spreading the flyers I have with me and will put somewhere after this talk, or the stickers, tell your friends about it. Or just keep in mind that there is a project coming and maybe keep up to date yourself. This is where you can get more information. The website is information-doc.org. You can follow it on Facebook, because you probably all are on Facebook. Or you can just follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is pandemonium21. Or very recently, I created an Instagram account because a good friend of mine who was very successful told me that it's a visual industry, so I need an Instagram account. So yes, you can follow this project on Instagram now too. So yes, if you have any more questions, I'm around, or you can ask them now. And thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions? Because we do still have some minutes left. If you're not comfortable asking them in English, I could also translate.
Ich spreche auch Deutsch. Und Französisch.
Oder so. And there we go.
Besser Deutsch oder Englisch sprechen?
Wie du möchtest.
Okay, ich meine für den Film, ne? Für Streaming. Maybe in English for the streaming. Okay. So, my question would be, I was not here the first minutes. I just dropped in a little bit later. So, what is your quintessence? What are all the companies looking for? And what is your quintessence? What is targeted in all these informations? And do you see any horizon how to come out of getting everywhere targeted?
Those are two very good questions. So I think they track everything, but trouble is that is not, I'm not completely an expert on those issues from a technical perspective. And this film is more created for people to understand the basic problem of mass surveillance. Of course, I will be pointing to some of the usual suspects that people use, like Google, Facebook, WhatsApp, email, non-encrypted Google emails, etc. And I have no idea how to get out of it. sure, I personally use a lot of encrypted or privacy-friendly softwares, like I'm encrypting my emails, I try to avoid using WhatsApp and all of those funny little things that everybody uses. But I do believe that instead of focusing too strongly on governmental surveillance, we need to start focusing at the same time a lot more on company surveillance, because I believe that what is happening at the moment with all of those companies getting not only bigger, but also getting more into our private sphere, such as credit rating companies, are a huge problem. We can only go from that perspective, because we won't be able to overrule the NSA, but we might be able by EU-wide policies, for example, to push the companies a little bit more to a, well, not privacy-friendly, but not as privacy-violating side as they're currently on, if that answers your question.
Thank you very much. We still have time for more questions. Anybody here with another question or suggestion, maybe? There we go.
Yes, I would like to be. I would like to ask whether you have a specific target audience in mind, or whether you really want to address every single person out there. I mean, are you thinking of the young, naive user of all those services, or maybe the older person that sort of just happens to buy a some smart home device and doesn't think about it or whatever? Thank you.
Thanks for that question. So I actually want to target every single person on the planet, but that is absolutely impossible. So I am specifically targeting people who lack any knowledge on that. So that probably means a lot of older people, you know, not digital natives, because they grow up hopefully more knowing that there might be a problem. So I'm always thinking about people in their 50s maybe, or people who are new to using the internet, because so many people will only come online over the next 10 years that just couldn't afford it before, just didn't have any devices before. So globally, I'm targeting a lot of people who are just not knowing anything about this and want to inform themselves that there is an issue.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, here we go. So, do we have any more questions? Feel free to ask them. We also usually take questions in online, on Twitter, of course, naturally. So if you have questions now or later, feel free to drop by there. I think otherwise, thank you very much for your talk, for your movie. Good luck with your project.
Thank you.